بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم، الحمد للہ رب العالمین، والصلاۃ والسلام علی اشرف الانبیاء والمرسلین محمد رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم تسلیما کثیرا کثیرا. فما بعد، مائی برادرز اینڈ سسٹرز، وی آر ٹاکنگ اباؤٹ دی ایشو آف ڈیزائرز اینڈ واٹ شوڈ بی ڈو، ہاؤ شوڈ بی ڈیل ود دیم. ایز آئی مینشن ٹو یو، اٹس ناٹ اے کوشچن آف ویدر یو ہیو اے ڈیزائر اور ناٹ. It's a question of what you do with that desire, whatever it is. And alhamdulillah, if you fulfill that desire in a halal way, there is no problem. But if you seek to fulfill that desire and cast aside any orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which might come in your way, then this will open you for punishment. For example, you want to get married. For example, you want a life partner. If you seek to fulfill that desire, say you are even in love with somebody. If you seek to fulfill that desire in the order, that in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed, which is to make nikah with that person, and that nikah and walima, you do it according to the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is you keep it simple. You do not do ostentatious spending, you don't show off, you don't splurge, then inshallah your nikah, your wedding will be blessed and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will peace with you, and that action becomes an action of ibadah, of worship. Similarly, you want to start a business, you want to trade, you want to go into manufacture, whatever it is. Alhamdulillah, if you do it in the way, that does not violate the laws of Allah, which is that to raise finance for it, you do not use interest-based financing. That's the number one thing. Second thing is that the business itself does not include and should not include anything which is haram or prohibited, whether it is as a part of the business, whether it is as a part of advertising or some kind of promotion or whatever might be. You follow the ahkam and the orders of Allah and the sunnah of Rasulullah. Then Allah will put barakah in that business, and doing that business will be a means of earning a reward for yourself. On the other hand, if you get interest-based finance, if you include things in that business which are haram, for example, there is alcohol being sold or something like that, or some other forms of haram, there are so many today that is difficult to list, and that's not my intention anyway, then that business will become a means of problem and something which will make you culpable and punishable before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, you want to serve the people through doing, you know, social work, and also you seek some level of influence and authority in that. If you do that legally, if you do that honestly, with integrity, focusing on serving of people and doing it in a way which is good, and you don't lie, you don't cheat, you don't bribe, you don't do anything illegal, then inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you that power and authority, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it into a means of khair and barakah for you. But on the other hand, in the name of politics, if you lie and cheat, if you bribe, if you corrupt, if you do those things, then that becomes a punishment. It's like a noose around your neck waiting to be tightened. Now I can, of course, you know, give you more examples, but my purpose is this, which is that whether it is education, whether it is economy, whether it is domestic, whether it is public, whatever it might be, if you do it in a way which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it becomes a means of benefit. Including, for example, you might say, well, you know, I want to build a masjid. So if I want to build a masjid now, there should be no doubt about this, right? So is it something that pleases Allah or not. Of course it will please Allah. What is the doubt? But think about that. That masjid you want to build, the funds you use, are those funds halal? The masjid itself that you are building, are you building it to please Allah? Or are you building it as a symbol of ostentation? Right? It has a golden dome or a gold dome, and it has this and that and all kinds of ostentatious stuff. I remember seeing this absolutely graphic picture that somebody took. And it was an accidental picture. Somebody took a picture of a masjid in South Africa. It's a brand new masjid with very fancy domes and stuff. But the angle from which this person took this picture, I don't think this person probably even noticed. But there was a poor black woman sitting in one corner of the picture in the front. There was a poor black woman with her small child who was sitting on the ground, next to the road, begging. And there's this massive, very fancy masjid. Now, I hope and I'm sure those people going to the salah, they would probably have given that woman some charity. That's good, alhamdulillah. But the question that remains is that instead of building a masjid of such magnificence, if part of those funds had been also used to set up a good school or a good hospital, how much better it would have been, and it would not have reduced from the pleasure of offering salah in a masjid, because the masjid would have been built anyway. Maybe it wouldn't have had all the fancy bells and whistles, but Allah is not in need of any bells and whistles, right? But today the problem is that we Muslims, we have gone to a stage where we do not hesitate to spend literally billions in ostentation. Somebody gave me a figure, I remember several years ago, in Hyderabad, the Muslim weddings, they said that totally, and this was not just somebody, unreliable, it was a very important person who was the editor of a very important newspaper. He said to me that in 1 year in Hyderabad, Muslims spend 4,000 crores rupees on weddings, right? I don't want to do the sums in my head in US dollars, but 4,000, 1 crore is 100 million, right? 1 million is 10 lakhs, 1 crore is 100 lakhs. So that is 10 million, not 100 million, 10 million. 1 crore is 10 million. So 4,000 crores is 40,000 million Indian rupees is spent on weddings, ostentatious weddings, in hiring of wedding halls and decorations and whatnot. But you ask the same people to give you 1/10 of that, 1/100 of that, to set up a world-class school, they will not cough it up. They will not cough it up. I know places where people spend a fortune building humongous masajid. Right? Humongous masajid. I mean, amazing. $100 million, more than that, $1 billion. Humongous masajid. And those countries are plagued with poverty and sickness and all kinds of things. There's a wonderful story of the grandfather of J.R.D. Tata, who gave his wife, that is the grandmother of J.R.D. Tata, the Jacob Diamond as his gift on Valentine's Day. Right? So she used to wear it on a chain. After a few years, the whole Tata businesses were in dire straits. They had no money. They didn't even have money to pay salaries. So this gentleman and his wife, they pledged their entire wealth, including that Jacob Diamond. They borrowed money, they pledged their whole wealth, they borrowed money, and they saw their companies through that difficult period and paid wages and so on. They made sure that their employees never suffered. And that wealth just remained there, and what they had pledged was converted into a trust, which then resulted in the Tata Memorial Hospital in Bombay and in TISS and the Tata Research Institute in Bangalore. Somebody says that Valentine's gifts have good endings also. I'm not promoting Valentine's Day. I'm just saying that people who have wealth, they also have a choice of how to spend it. And here's a chance. Here's an example. Not a Muslim person, but somebody who had, maybe that's the reason why he spent it like that. Allah knows best. Who had the wealth and they chose to spend it in this way rather than spending it ostentatiously. But today we have a situation where we Muslims, we spend humongous amounts of money on ostentatious weddings, on ostentatious masajid, on ostentatious houses and so-called homes. And but you ask people to give you, to invest money for a world-class school, they will not give you $10. You ask them to invest money for a world-class hospital, that doesn't come out. But we sit and we complain about how this is happening and that is happening and how, you know, the world is, how the world hates us and how the world is oppressing us and whatnot. My brothers and sisters, let us get real, right? Let us get real. The world loves those who gives, and the world hates those who take. Your choice and my choice, where we want to place ourselves. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ.